Hi, Eugene. Has Connie gone?
Yes, sir. She had an early meeting with Dr. Trask. Why?
Well, I finally got a bead on what may be the signal from that implant in Monty's arm.
Wonderful.
It's not a strong signal, but I want to follow it up. It's an industrial park near Connellsville. Oh, you'll remember that other task I gave you.
With Buck Oliver, the sample?
Uh-huh. And all you need is his saliva on, say, a glass of water or something.
Mm-hmm.
But he can't know what you're up to. Mm. If he's connected to this green ring and Monty's disappearance, we can't have him run off.
Mr. Whittaker, I will be my usual discreet self.
Now, you have Detective Polhouse's number. Now, you call him when you get the sample.
You can count on me.
I know, and I'm grateful.
And I'll pray that this will lead you to Monty.
Well, thank you.
Howdy, Mr. Eugene.
Greetings.
Oh, you must be Buck. I'm John Avery Whittaker. It's good to meet you.
Likewise. Thanks for the job. I'm looking forward to working here.
We need the help. I have to go, but Eugene will show you around.
Much obliged.
Goodbye. I hope it goes well, Eugene.
Indeed. Farewell, Mr. Whittaker. So, Buck, we'll begin with a short tour. Are you thirsty? It's a hot day, and you may enjoy some of our homemade lemonade.
No, thanks. I'm okay.
Milkshake?
No, thanks.
Soda?
Nothing, no.
Oh. Well, would you mind licking this spoon to see if it tastes funny to you?
What?
Never mind. Let's begin our tour. Now, you'll notice over here...
Thanks for coming, Connie. Please sit down.
Sure, Dr. Trask. Is there something wrong?
Wrong? No, not at all. Penny told me she invited you to our little campus group.
Oh, yeah, that.
Unfortunately, Penny was a little premature in mentioning it.
Premature?
We don't invite just anyone.
Oh, you mean it's like an exclusive club?
Well, not everyone appreciates what we're doing.
What are you doing? She said it's like a church.
I would rather say we're a group of like-minded people of faith who are seeking God together.
Seeking God how?
Well, when you look at a painting by Rembrandt or Caravaggio, or listen to music by Bach or Tchaikovsky, or watch a play by Shakespeare, you're learning about them as artists and human beings. Their styles and approaches tell us more about who they are than the mere facts of their lives. It's the same with God.
So it's like an art class about God?
In a manner of speaking. We're dedicated to finding the beauty of God in nature, art, within ourselves. And in doing that, we get to know him better. And through him, we find his beauty inside of us. We can see our true potential, who he wants us to be.
And there's the Bible.
Yes, of course. The poetry, the prose, the stories, the insights into our humanity. It is pure revelation.
Well, it all sounds really interesting in an academic kind of way. Mm-hmm. But I don't get how that works personally.
The experts who take care of Michelangelo's paintings on the Sistine Chapel realized that that beautiful work had been slowly covered up by the smoke from candles, the exhalations of tourists, the smog and exhaust from outside traffic. The details were disappearing, the colors muted, so they set out to restore it. Connie, I believe that God has created within us something unique and beautiful. But over time, that uniqueness and beauty gets covered up with the soot and constraints of life. Our vibrancy and color fades. Our little group wants to restore who we really are. There's a beauty inside of you, Connie, a potential you haven't begun to explore.
Oh, okay.
You're welcome to join us. I think you'd be a good fit. And I know Penny would love to have you there.
Well, when do you meet and where?
As it happens, we're getting together this afternoon, after class, in my office.
Okay, I'll be there.
Thank you.
Well, Buck, I believe you've now seen most of the shop. You must be exhausted. Have something to drink.
Oh, I'm not really...
I insist. Hydration is a fundamental necessity for good health. Besides, it would help to get a second opinion on this lemonade.
Okay. So what's that door lead to?
That? Oh, it just leads to the basement. And Witt's private workshop. Many of his greatest inventions were created there.
It's locked.
Oh, well, there's a particular project in process right now, so we're not allowing anyone but authorized personnel to enter. Here's your lemonade.
Thanks. So, I guess it's a pretty important project.
It's a technological effort. Try the lemonade.
I'd like to hear about it.
Perhaps when the time is right, try the lemonade.
Because I'm really interested in things
try
like that.
Try the lemonade!
Okay. May I have a straw?
Oh, certainly.
Hey, look who's here.
Hi, Eugene. Hello, Buck. I'm...
Matthew, I remember.
Greetings, Matthew. Here's the straw for your lemonade, Buck.
Emily told me that you lost your cell phone in the woods.
That's right. I heard you found one.
Huh? It's not a regular cell phone. It's an Appleberry.
It could be mine.
Hooray for finding your phone, lemonade.
I guess the best way to prove it's yours is for you to put in the password.
Oh, sure. Where's the phone?
It's down
there. Before anyone goes anywhere, I would really like Buck to drink some of that lemonade.
What's so important about the lemonade?
We'll call it the duties of a first-day employee. Buck, please.
All right.
Buck Oliver.
Huh?
I'd like to have a word with you in private, please.
After he drinks some lemonade?
Are you upset about something, Miss Katrina?
I'd rather discuss it privately.
Lemonade first?
Now, if you please.
Yes, ma'am. Sorry, Eugene. I'll try your lemonade later.
This shouldn't be so difficult.
Let's go to my office, and please get rid of that toothpick.
Right. Sorry.
I'll take it.
What?
Just put it in this napkin. I'll dispose of it for you.
Thanks.
Anytime.
After you, Miss Katrina.
Let's go.
My stress levels are off the chart.
Eugene, why are you putting Buck's toothpick into a plastic bag?
It's a keepsake of sorts.
Okay, that's weird. What are you going to do, have it bronzed?
Oh, Matthew, you're so amusing. Pardon me while I call Detective Polehouse.
Detective Polehouse? Eugene!
Thanks, Eugene. Hold on to that toothpick. I'll send someone over right away. Martin!
Yes, sir.
Get over to Witt's End. Eugene got the sample from that kid.
Right away, sir.
Hi, this is Witt.
Witt, Detective Polehouse.
Hello, Detective. Where are you?
Hagler's Junkyard. We found several printing presses. My forensic boys have determined that Fiber Touch 132 paper was used with the same color green ink as the counterfeit money.
Don't tell me Wally really is involved.
To my surprise, it doesn't look like he is. My whole world view might have to change when a Hagler plays good guy. He was being set up by Mr. Beardy's southern accent.
He gets around.
And there's more. Wally used some kind of GPS system to follow the guy back to his hideout. It's a gated property off Gold Camp Road.
Well, maybe you should hire Wally as a detective.
I wouldn't go that far. Admitting I may have been wrong is hard enough. Look, Eugene got the sample I wanted from Buck Oliver.
Ah.
One of my officers has gone to get it so we can check for a match. Where are you?
Oh, just outside Connellsville. I'm following a lead for Monty.
What?
He may be in a rundown building on the edge of an industrial park on Newcastle Road.
You shouldn't have gone alone.
Well, you've been pretty busy. Wait. A car is pulling up to the building.
Anyone we know?
I can't see very well. It's Agent Tanner.
Listen to me, Witt. Don't do anything until I get there.
No promises.
No, Witt.
So, what's wrong, Miss Katrina?
The address you put on the forms.
What about it?
It's not your house. You don't live there.
Sure I do.
Buck, let's not waste our time pretending. I want you to tell me the truth.
Okay. The truth is, I put that address on those forms because I didn't want you to know where I really live.
Why not?
Because my real house is a dump. I'm ashamed of it. We're poor people, Miss Katrina.
Buck, you must never be ashamed of...
Of what? Being poor? Tell me you wouldn't be. Or maybe you don't know. You've probably had it good all your life. I haven't.
I'm sorry, Buck.
Great. So, now you know. Am I fired?
Give me your correct address.
Why is it so important where I live?
Because you're underage and we have to know how to contact your guardian should anything happen.
If you don't mind, I'd like to talk to Mr. Skint to get his okay.
Why would you need his okay?
He's a very private man.
Buck, I don't understand your relationship with Mr. Skint.
Well, he's like a father to me.
What does that mean?
No offense, Miss Katrina, but I'd really like to get this taken care of. I don't want to leave Eugene in the lurch on my first day of work.
Call Mr. Skint if you have to.
I'll step outside, if you don't mind. You know, better signal.
Go ahead.
I'll be back in a minute, Mr. Eugene.
Oh, of course.
Oh, that poor boy.
Poor boy? Katrina, I'm not entirely sure the trouble you believe he's in is the kind of trouble he is actually in.
What?
Allow me to tell you about the toothpick.
Yes?
Mr. Skint?
Oh, Buck, my boy. I'm surprised to hear from you. Aren't you working?
I was.
Well, what's wrong?
There's good news and bad news.
I'll get the bad news over with.
Well, Miss Katrina found out about the fake address. Now she wants the real one.
Dominoes and double bluffs. What's wrong with the people in this town? So mistrusting? Mm-hmm. How's a hard-working thief expected to make a living when people get involved like this? We're so close to the end of this business. The truck is coming to the compound this afternoon. Now, what's the good news?
Well, I think I found Dirtbeg's Appleberry. A kid named Matthew Parker has it. It's locked up in the basement at Wit's End.
Then you have to get it, boy. Get it and get out of there. Just say the word and I'll meet you at our spot on the south side of McAllister Park. Do you understand? This entire enterprise is getting wobbly, if you take my meaning.
What should I tell Miss Katrina about my address?
Well, tell her I'd like her to call me. I won't answer, but she should call. That'll stall things for a while.
I'll give it a try.
All right, I'll get that phone, son. The messier this thing gets, the more we may need what's on that phone. Security, you see?
Yes, sir, I got it.
Now, if you'll take a good look at this next slide, you'll see an example
Connie,
of the Baroque style.
Why didn't you tell me that Dr. Trask met with you privately? Well, I thought he would tell you. It would have been better to hear it from you. Isn't that exciting? He invited you to our group, personally.
We're meeting after class, I guess.
You'll like it. It's all coming together, Connie. I think we should do something to celebrate tonight.
Aren't you going to be meeting up with Wooten?
What makes you think that?
Well, you two seem to hit it off at the carnival.
I had a wonderful time.
So you do like him?
Yes. But what's that have to do with our doing something later?
Well, you know, I just don't want to be a third wheel.
What?
Ladies, are we interrupting you? I don't mean for my lecture to hinder your social time.
No, Dr. Trask, I'm sorry.
Then, barring further interruptions, I shall resume. The guards, who hope to capture him,
Connie,
wait in the hall.
You're not a third wheel. You're more like training wheels. Besides, I want to get to know you better, too, especially if we're going to be business partners.
I'm still not sure about that.
I know. You and I should do something special, like go hiking or skeet shooting, just the two of us.
Well, hiking sounds good.
We have to talk. Things are about to happen, Connie. Exciting things. I can tell.
Hello, Agent Tanner.
Mr. Whitaker, what are you doing here?
Where is Monty?
I don't know what...
Sure you do. I followed the signal from Monty's identification chip to this location. You brought him here after knocking him out at the carnival. Where is he?
That's what I'm trying to tell you. I don't know. He was here not an hour ago.
What are you up to?
I took him from the carnival to save the undercover operation. To save his life.
That doesn't make sense.
Look, I had to play it this way. I wanted Dirk and the stiletto to believe I was willing to give him up for a share of the money. That way I could stay in contact with them.
Uh-huh.
I know you don't trust me.
Forget about trusting you. I want to know where my grandson is.
I don't know.
She doesn't, but I do.
And who are you?
They call me the stiletto.
Mr. Whittaker has nothing to do with this.
Well, it seems to me that Mr. Whittaker has everything to do with what happens in this town. Sit down, Mr. Whittaker. We're all gonna have ourselves a nice little chat.
Buck has been gone a long time. Do you think he ran away?
He'd be smart to if what you said is true.
Hmm.
Oh, when do you expect to hear from the police?
Well, as soon as they've checked the DNA samples.
I still don't believe he's doing this on his own, Eugene. It's that Mr. Skint.
Perhaps.
Sorry to take so long. I spoke to Mr. Skint. He'd like to talk to you personally.
Is he coming here?
He wants you to call him. I've written down the number for you.
Oh,
here you go.
Thank you, Buck. I'll call him right now. Excuse me.
I'm really sorry about all these distractions, Mr. Eugene.
Oh, don't worry about it.
I'd like that lemonade now.
Oh, that's right. I don't need it anymore.
Huh?
Of course. I'll pour you a fresh glass.
So, where did Matthew go?
Down to Witt's workshop.
Huh. I'd like to see that appleberry. It might be mine.
Okay, where is he? Aha! There you are!
May I help you, Jay?
You can't, but he can.
I can?
Huh? Yeah. I want you to tell me why you and that freaky dude you hang out with tried to frame my Uncle Wally.
What?
I think you're making a mistake.
The only one making a mistake around here is you, when you dropped off all that equipment at my uncle's junkyard.
Jay, perhaps you should sit down.
The only one sitting down around here is him, when they drop him in the electric chair for being a counterfeiter.
Counterfeiters don't go to the electric chair, Jay.
Well, they should be made to sit in some kind of chair, in a corner, for like a really long time.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, sure. Just like you probably don't know where you really live, huh? Huh? Yeah, that's right. We followed you to that nice house where you don't live, and up to that weird place on Gold Camp Road where you do live. And I'll bet that's why you tried to set up Uncle Wally, huh? Huh? Go ahead and deny it.
All right. I deny it.
Oh.
You know, I am getting tired of feeling accused by everyone around here. I think I'm gonna go downstairs and get my appleberry and leave.
Now, wait a minute, Buck.
Hey, you can't just walk away.
He just did. You'll excuse me for a moment. I want to see what's happening in the workshop.
Can I come?
It's better that you don't. Watch the counter a moment, will you?
Watch the counter. Oh, cool. Free ice cream for the counter watcher.
Okay, Mr. Stiletto, you wanted to talk. Let's start with what you've done with my grandson.
All right, well, first we have to do a little house cleaning. Sam, Dom, escort Agent Tanner out of here, please. You know where to take her.
What?
Come on.
But why? I'm in on this.
Mr. Stiletto, I don't think you want to add kidnapping to your crimes.
No, you can't. You wouldn't be here if it wasn't for me.
You played your part well. Thank you.
You can't do this to me. Kidnapping a federal agent will get you life in
jail. It'd be a bad idea to hurt her.
Oh, hurting her is not in the plan. We're giving her a much-needed break. She's been working very hard, you know. All the wheeling and dealing and double-crossing.
Double-crossing?
Give me a minute, boys. I need to have a private word with my friend here.
Yeah, boss.
Well, how long are you going to wait?
Wait?
To take off that disguise.
Disguise?
You know what I'm talking about.
Well, now that's very interesting. I'm afraid the beard won't come off without a razor.
Uh-huh.
However, the hat will. And the sunglasses. How's that?
That's much better. It's good to see you again.
Well, that's disappointing. I worked hard to get my disguise right. How'd you know it was me?
Well, you're my son, though I never expected the infamous stiletto was really Jason Whittaker.
What? Did I hear right? Jason Whittaker is the stiletto? But how is that possible? And how does he tie into the Green Ring conspiracy? Oh, I have to say, though, that it's a relief to have an old friend show up, and that it's someone Whit can trust. It reminds me of Proverbs 17:17, which says, "A friend loves at all times, and a brother shares in adversity." In other words, it's better not to be alone when trouble comes, but to surround ourselves with those we can trust, like our brothers or sisters, parents, friends, and teachers at school and at church. Throughout this mysterious adventure, Whit's been able to depend on Monty, Eugene, Connie, and now Jason. As our story continues, we'll see how together they try to stop the Green Ring conspiracy. Today's program is a presentation of Focus on the Family. And I'm Chris, hoping you'll join us next time for more Adventures in Odyssey.